You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Good day to be in church, nice and hot outside. Gorgeously hot outside, says the Australian, where it's like 8 million degrees down there. I almost said down south. All right, so we're going to get into it today. I'm excited to be here. It's been a good morning already. I was out front. I ran into a friend, and we were chatting. Don't worry, friend. I'm not going to out you who you are. We were chatting about a concert that we were at 17 years ago. Both of us were there. And it's just crazy when you run into yourself, like your previous self 17 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, man, I sure am glad that God's been moving for 17 years. By golly. I did. I used to get really nervous. This was years ago when I preached that somebody that knew me years ago would come in and see me preach. I got really nervous. I'd say, oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Whew. They're going to come in and they're going to be like, this guy? They're going to be like, oh, man, that guy, he's a hypocrite. I've seen him when he was at all the stuff, when he was at his worst, when he was at his lowest. It would almost grab me in fear, right? And now what I say is, oh, God, please send those people that saw me 15 years ago so they can see what God's done in a life. Because if he can do it in my life, he can do it in theirs, right? Give God a shout of praise for that. That's for somebody. Y'all are always generous with me telling stories, so I figured I'd tell one. A lot of you know, so my wife, my family, and I moved. Come on, right? It's been a big deal. This has been an 8-month journey. 6 months of that felt like 600 years, was spent in a really small temporary place, but we moved into a house. It's been amazing. About a week and a half ago was moving day. And it's been fantastic. So that Wednesday we moved, which meant that Tuesday I spent the entire day traveling around the entire state of Iowa, retrieving my earthly belongings that had been spread through multiple locations and putting them in a truck. Two trucks, actually. And so, because Wednesday was move day, so Tuesday, that's what I did. I set off on my course Wednesday morning to near Winterset, Iowa, where my stuff was. And as I'm driving to the place, which happened to be my mom and dad's house. So my mom and dad's house, we get there. And there's some great fellas there that are some of my dad's friends, and they helped me, which was fantastic. They helped me put that stuff in. But we unlocked the shed, we opened it up, and there before me is a mountain of tubs. Tubs, like the plastic, right? There's like a store called the Container Store. That's just crazy. My wife, I don't know where you are, baby. I know you love that store. There you are. Okay. So there before me is a mountain of tubs and all kinds of other stuff to move. So we set about, we take stock of this thing that looks like it's one of the seven wonders of the world. We scale it up. We decide we can complete this mission. So we begin the process piece by piece, dismantling Mount Tubbery and hauling it like 15 feet up a ramp into a truck so then we can recreate Mount Tubbery, because how many of you know when you move, it's just kind of this continual process of recreating your piles, right? So we keep doing that, and we're loading this stuff, and the tubs go in, and it's great, and then all the extra stuff, or most of it gets in, and it's great. We get done, and I sit back, and I look at it, and I think, oh, man, that's pretty darn good. And then it dawns on me that that's only half my stuff. So I hop in the truck, and I drive up to Story City, which is where the rest of my stuff is. That's my in-law's place. And on the way, I pick up a friend of mine. And so he gives me his afternoon and his evening. We go up to Story City. And we get there. And there we descend into their basement, which is fantastic for them because for 6 months they haven't been able to use their basement. And so this buddy of mine and I, we go down and we see the task before us. There's the rest of Mount Tubbery. And we're going to put that thing in the truck, and we're going to be able to do it because at least one of us, him, not me, is young and strong, But both of us are redheaded, which means we're tougher than everybody else. So we go down there, we get the stuff, and piece by piece, we dismantle the rest of Mount Tubbery, and we carry it up the steps into the truck and recreate the rest of Mount Tubbery there. And we put all the rest of the stuff in, and we get to the end. And so there's, you know, like when you put stuff in a moving truck, about 3/4 of the way it looks nice, and the rest of it's just like, let's get the crap in there. Any way, shape, or form that it fits. Let's do it. So we put the stuff in, we cram it, and we got, you know, feet going, and then we pull down the, and it shuts. And we're off to the races. So I drive it back home. The next day, a million people show up at our place to clean and to help move, and we move stuff in. We open the moving truck's doors, and we piece by piece, stuff goes into the house and it goes into the basement. It's great. And it dawns on me that this is not 100% of my stuff. It's 90% of my stuff. And the other 10% of my stuff is in a storage unit in Waukee. To compound matters, I had lost the key to the lock that was on the storage unit for the stuff that was in Waukee. But thankfully, I know a guy and I know a gal. How many of you have these people in your lives that at the 11th hour, they just show up? And when they show up, they step into a place and stuff just like magically happens. All of a sudden, things get done. They step into a situation and they clinch victory from the jaws of defeat, right? That's this couple that I know. They know who they are and they're here and I love you for it. And so them and a couple of other folks, five of us, we set off to the storage unit to get my stuff. And as a side note, it is possible for five people to enter a gated storage area that is monitored, go into that place with a grinder, grind off a lock, which is very loud and creates a lot of sparks, empty the contents into two pickup trucks, exit out the gate, and evidently nobody seems to bat an eye. Because I did it. We put that stuff in the trucks, we went to my house, and we unloaded the stuff, and Wednesday ended, and we were in, and it was amazing, right? So Thursday's great, Friday's great, we're cleaning, and we're situating stuff, and Saturday comes, and it is a day that's going to be fantastic, because there's a wedding. Matt Dingman and Ashley Brunel, they're actually here today. They got married in this place. There's Ashley right there. Matt plays guitar right over here. And so I'm in the wedding that day. So what that means is I have to look nice, right? So if I have to look nice, that means I need to put on my nice shirt, right? If I'm going to put on my nice white shirt, that thing better be ironed, right? Because Ashley ain't going to have an unironed shirt in her wedding. And then it dawns on me, all of my earthly possessions are in my house, but I don't know where any of them are, including the iron. So I set about on an Indiana Jones-style crusade throughout this place that I know nothing about, fighting cobwebs and stubbing my toe. And I look for the iron. And I descend into the basement with gusto, leaping down the steps. And I get to the bottom of the basement, and I'm ready for battle. And I turn, and I flip the switch, and there before me stands Mount Tubbery. Because how many of you know when you move into a house, sometimes you just get the stuff in there, right? Thankfully, I unbox the stuff. I find the iron. They get married probably because my shirt was ironed, and it was a success. Give these two just an applause because they got married. And it was awesome. How many of you know sometimes you may not know the steps that you got to take or what you got to do or the hows or what's going to happen next, but you know you got to get over there and so you just got to go. How many of you know that? You know that there's something before you that you have to step into. Today, church, we're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about peace. And we're going to look at it through a really specific lens. After Pastor Jesse's sermon last week, which was the all-in sermon, raise your hand if that sermon spoke to you. And I know it spoke to you, but yeah, come on, hands all up all over the place, right? So after Pastor Jesse's sermon last week, I started to ask the question and become intrigued by this idea of what does peace look like in the midst of going all in. What does it look like when there's something before you that you know that you're supposed to step into? What does peace look like in that situation? Now, without question, the Lord brings us peace in the midst of all kinds of scenarios. Pastor Jesse alluded to a couple in the intro, right? He brings us peace in the midst of darkness and despair and challenging times and challenging places, without question, right? He just does, okay? But today we're not going to look at that side of it. We're going to look at a different side of this. Primarily, we're going to talk about what peace looks like when we're facing what's next in our lives. When Mother Teresa was alive, there was a man who went to India, and he went there to work at a place called the House of the Dying. I believe that's what it's called. And so he gets there because he knows that he's supposed to go do something, and he knows he's supposed to go there, but he doesn't quite know what life's going to look like because it's completely different than what he's been doing. He just knows that there's something else. He can't make sense of it, and he doesn't know what to do. So he gets there, and he meets Mother Teresa, and he says, "Mother Teresa, will you pray for me?" And she says, "Yeah, of course I'll pray for you. What are we praying about?" And he says, "I just want clarity." How many of you ever wanted clarity? And Mother Teresa looks at him in the eye and says, "No, I am not going to pray that for you." And he says, "Well, what do you mean? Why aren't you going to pray clarity for me?" And Mother Teresa looks at him and says, "Because that's the last thing that you're holding on to that's preventing you from doing what's next." She says, "I haven't ever had clarity. What I've had is I've trusted the Lord. So instead, I'm going to pray that you trust him." And that's what we're talking about today. Whenever you're on the cusp of the unknown, you're going to be tempted to seek clarity and understanding before you take a step. Even if your heart is stirring and moving in an incredible way, you're going to try to seek clarity and understanding before you even budge. And it's only natural, because when we're faced with the unknown, but yet we know we must step forward, it's natural for us to want to see as much of the picture as we possibly can, isn't it? We want to see as much as we can. "God, give me clarity about the details of this situation so I can make a good decision. God, help me understand what's going on so I know what to do. Help me to see the outcome of this scenario. Show me the potential obstacles I'm going to face. God, show me the steps so then I can take a step." The unknown and the fear of the unknown can produce anxiety. Even when we have an inkling or an understanding or an assurance that we're supposed to make a decision, right? Even when we understand that, it can be even more challenging when you know that you're supposed to take a step, or that you're supposed to take a chance, or that you're supposed to change directions. When there's a stirring within you from God that so clearly beckons you to take a step. But where, God? Where do I step? What do I do? And you think to yourself, "Gosh, I know that I was made for something more than this. I just know," which is probably true, because in Ephesians, remember, it says you were created with works specifically in advance for you to do, right? And you hear a message like Pastor Jesse's from last week, a message that encourages you to go all in with God. And where do I go? Darn Pastor Jesse for preaching a message that resonates all of a sudden with me. How dare he? Let me submit to you that his words simply awakened something that was already within you that God was already birthing, right? So we're not going to blame Pastor Jesse. But if we aren't careful, in fact, if we aren't really intentional and active in that moment, we can talk ourselves out of doing what we're supposed to do. You know what Pastor Jesse said to me about going all in, or what's been resonating in my soul about taking a step? You know, the more that I thought about it, and the more that I thought about the obstacles, and the more that I thought about the what ifs, and the more that I thought about all the things that could potentially come against me, and the more that I did the math, and the more that I thought about all the things that I don't know, I just don't know if I can do it. Yeah, I don't think I can do it. And we talk ourselves out of something. And I can understand that. There's no reason to be foolish in making decisions. In fact, God is pretty clear that we're supposed to seek wisdom in the midst when we're placed with a decision in front of us, right? But sometimes, and I want you to hear me, but sometimes in our craving for clarity, which really means understanding, we can miss the very thing that will empower us to take a step of faith, to say yes to something that God's already said yes to. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and then he will make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him. You see, when Mother Teresa was speaking to the man who visited Calcutta, she chose not to pray for clarity or understanding because she knew that the man was seeking a clear path. And she was certain that the clear path would not be discovered by the man amidst clarity and understanding, but instead when he trusted God, when he submitted himself fully to God, going one step further, when he was saying yes to what God was already saying yes to, and he was trusting him, and in that place there was peace. You see, I like facts, and sometimes I'm pretty good at shooting from the hip, but I like facts typically before I take a step. I like to ask a lot of questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to know what's in front of us, so we can take a good long look at it, right? So we can see that roadmap or whatever it is that's before us, so we can effectively plot our course in a safe and effective way. But the problem is that often when God asks us to do something, he's wanting to rewrite the maps of our understanding. Can I say that one again? But the problem with this is that often when God is asking us to do something, he's wanting to rewrite the maps of our understanding. He's often wanting to do a new thing. Maybe something that's never been done before. At the very least, something that we've never done before. So for those of you who've had something resonating, if you've heard from God, trust that you've heard from him. God speaks to Abraham and essentially tells him to completely step out of the lineage of his history, because he's going to do a new thing. He's going to make Abraham's descendants number more than all the stars in the sky. But God, how? This place, I don't know where it is, and I don't know where I'm going, God. And my wife and I are old, and she can't have kids. How is this possibly going to happen? God speaks to Moses through a bush. You can't make that up, right? God speaks to Moses through a bush. And he says, that place that you fled from Egypt, I want you to go back there. Yeah, I know that you murdered someone there. I know that you completely left the family who raised you. I know that you really aren't accepted by your true family, the Jews. But I want you to go back there. And then I want you to lead all the Jews out of captivity into freedom. What? With what army am I supposed to go do that? Something like that hasn't ever really been done before. How am I supposed to do that? And I'm pretty sure that I'm not the guy for the job. The disciples are in a boat. And Jesus says, I want you to get out of the boat, and I want you to come out and walk to me on this water. Jesus, I don't know if you understand like the physics or the chemistry or whatever it is that makes it so you can't walk on top of water unless it's ice. But by golly, I don't think this is going to, like, I just don't understand like how this is possibly going to work. No one's ever done this before. And Jesus is like, I know what you can do on this water because I created it. Because in the beginning, everything was created through me. You've told me to move. You've set something in front of me. I know I'm supposed to go all in, but I don't understand how. There's so much to worry about, so much in my way. It doesn't make sense. And Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, in what situations? In just kind of the situations that maybe I have all the facts about? In just the situations that I've done all the research and I know everything that's before me, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding, because I'm trying to understand everything, but instead the peace of God that transcends the understanding that I'm seeking will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does it guard our hearts? Because we need them to be guarded against the doubt and the fear and in the anxiety and everything else that creeps into our lives, especially when we're on the cusp of what's next. Jesus is in the Mount of Olives, and it's the night that he's going to be betrayed. And he knows what lies before him. It's been a 3-year journey from him on earth that's led up to this point. He's going to be arrested, and he's going to be tried, and he's going to be convicted, and he's going to be sentenced to death. The Bible records that he was overcome with sorrow and anguish. There's a resurrection that's going to happen. Victory is going to occur. The most course-altering thing in history is about to happen. He's literally going to conquer death, conquering with it all of our sin and all of our shame and every blemish that exists. And then he's going to ascend to the Father. But first, there's the cross. And Jesus is praying, and he says, God, if there's any other way to do this, if there is any other way, please do. If this cup can be taken from me, please do it. But not my will, not my own understanding, not my own figuring this out. God, your will be done. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Say yes to what God is already saying yes to in your lives. And I know there can be plenty to fear. I know there can be obstacles, uncertain outcomes, maybe even people in your lives who are not for you, who in fact would come against you, or at the very least have a strong disagreement in what you believe that you should do or what God's potentially doing in your lives, even though you know you should step forward. So because those people are there, we begin to kind of change our course a little bit. We begin to kind of plot our course around those people, around the doubts that they have and around them. But in Proverbs 16, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Not our plans that we need to course correct around the people that don't believe what God has said yes for us to do in our lives, but he will establish our plans. And if he establishes your plans and then you walk forward in those plans, do you believe that he will be pleased? Because if you do, then this is what it says later in the same proverb. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's ways, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. So instead of going around the obstacle that maybe is the person that's there, you let the Lord establish your plans. And not only will that peace be for you, but it will be for them as well. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. When you have that peace, do you know that you carry it with you into a room? Do you know that you carry it with you wherever you go? We've all met those people that when they walk into a room, or you take part in a meeting with them, or they come or they sit down next to you, and they just exude peace. Like you can see, like you can feel it, like it's tangible, right? They have an assurance, probably born out of their own situations that they're facing continually in their lives, where they may not have understood everything, but they've stepped forward because that's what they were called to do, seeking peace by trusting him. And all of a sudden, they've done it so much, it becomes their default posture. Peace. And you can sense it all over them when they walk into a room. Because how many of you know our stories aren't just for us, right? The stories and the things we're going through, the victories that God gives you in your life, it's not just for you to enjoy. It's for everybody else, because everybody else in the world needs to hear a story of somebody stepping out in trust, seeking peace, not understanding, and finding victory in it, right? And so it has an effect not just on them, but in all of our situations. You know, I'm going to share a story. I wasn't even going to do this, but so that's crazy. So 2 years ago, our youngest daughter was born. And man, so you have the Haven is her name. And so we had spent a long time waiting for that one to happen. And there she is. And so we're going to have the baby, and it's going to be great. 6 weeks before she was due to come, all of a sudden the doctor says, hey, you got to come in and you got to have the baby. 6 weeks. And you know what? We're there and we're in utter shock because guess what? All of our plans have been completely set aside at that point, right? I ain't even got a crib set up, let alone what does it look like when a baby's born early? What am I supposed to do in this moment? The doctor's asking all these questions. Well, you didn't decide. You had a C-section the first time, and you were going to kind of decide in advance of this one. Are you going to have a C-section, or are you going to have a VBAC? What are you going to do? And we're just like, I don't even know. It's nighttime. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know. All I know is that there's chaos around me, but I know that God spoke that this baby would come, and I know that I'm supposed to step forward and say yes to it, so I don't understand anything. And yet I know that this is going to happen. And so we're there. And so it's just Chrissy and I in a room, and it's dark because it's dark. Her water's broken, and we're just sitting there waiting, and it's kind of this anguish moment. Like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know. I don't know what we're supposed to do. We put on a record that had just come out at the time. It was Hillsong's United's Empires album. It's just an incredible record. They just released a new one, by the way, which is really good, too. It's just awesome. It's called Wonder, I believe. Yeah. But we put on this record, Empires, and there's this song. There's this song that comes on, just the two of us, and we're just like, we're sitting there, and she's kind of in pain, and it's challenging, and it's just the two of us. And we don't know what to do, but we know that where we're going, right? Like, we know he's got us, but we're just riddled with, like, I can't even decide anything. And this song comes on. It's called The Prince of Peace. And it just, your love surrounds me when my thoughts wage war. When night screams terror, there your voice will roar. Come death or shadow, God, I know your light will meet me there. When fear comes knocking, there you'll be my guide. When day breathes trouble, there you'll hold my heart. Come storm or battle, God, I know your peace will meet me there. And it just soaked into us. And we just stepped forward in that moment. And it was, whoo, don't you cry. Whoo, I'm going to cry. Don't you do that. Big, tough, redheaded guy crying. Come on. Look, I don't know what God spoke to you last week, and I don't know what God's been speaking to you. I don't know what's in front of you. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what uncertainty you have. I don't know what fear you have. I don't know what things are before you that you're trying to work out all the decimal points. I don't know all the unknowns in your life, but I know that there is a world that's just crying out for a move of God. I know it with all my heart. And I know that he moves. That resonating last week that you experienced in your heart when Pastor Jesse was challenging you to go all in, that resonating and that pounding that's saying, yes, oh, come on, there's something there. He's right, okay? That is God beginning to move for the world, not just for you, but for the world. And I don't know what it is that it's time to say yes to in your life. I have no idea. But folks, I want to tell you that there's a peace that can soak into you that will give you something that is beyond understanding and clarity. And it will allow you to step forward and live a life beyond what you could possibly imagine that's going to affect not only you, but generations to come. I believe it with all my heart. And that's for every person in this place.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.